Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Praise is to Allah, the only God, and may the peace and blessings of God be upon His last prophet Muhammad, the son of Abdullah. May peace and blessings be upon him. You're listening to the Muslim Review with your host, Abu Layth, Luqman Ibn Abdul Karim, Muhammad Ahmed, and the call-in number is 914-219-0874. Today we're going to be talking about marriage. What the heck happened to Black American Muslim marriages? And I really want to hear from my audience because I do tend to talk a lot. I'm an imam, of course, so we preach. I'm a preacher. And I want to thank you, welcome you to my show. I want to get right to it. You know, listen, man, I'm going to tell you something. I love being back on the radio. You know, I'm really looking forward to increasing my listenership and kind of saying what I want to say. But, you know, an estimated 8 out of 10 marriable adults in Black Muslim America are not married. Like, let that marinate for a second. Like, you know, you go into the masjid, man, it's hard to find 10 marriages. Like, you can find, amongst some of the older, you can find it a little bit easier. 10 marriages, 40 and under, now. It's really like, you got to sift through. Where are you married? Nah, sis, you married? Nah, I ain't married. You find a lot of divorces, and that's not, you know, but it's hard to find married couples in the masjid, in the Black American communities, a lot of married couples with children, especially like this, the first marriage. This is not a reality. It might be a second marriage. It might be a second batch of children. You find a lot of stepkids when there is marriage. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. That's just our reality. And the whole problem with marriages is that a lot of times we don't deal with the reality of our condition. We talk about what we want to be our condition. We talk about, you know, what we think we're supposed to say about our condition. In fact, the bulk of what we say online is stuff that we think we're supposed to say. It's not, you can't really have a conversation too much. Now, it's getting a little better, but, man, if you start talking about what's really going on in Black Muslim America, man, you get all kind of, you get excoriated from Muslims. You know, now I'm just going to understand because it ain't real, but Muslims, like, man, but we're getting used to that. But 8 out of 10, estimated. Why I say estimated? Because nobody really studies Black American or Black Muslim America. You know, we don't study our own condition. We don't have research organizations of our own that study and look at our problems, look at solutions. We don't have dedicated funding for that. People study us. They'll study us at some Ivy League college somewhere. You see, we're going to study the Black American. Let's study the black Muslims. We know they're there. You know, they're headed for extinction. We get that. We don't tell our own narrative. We tell the narrative that they tell us to tell. We tell the narrative that we think they're supposed to hear. We got caught up with a lot of stuff. We got caught up with the post 9/11 show me Islam. We need to get validation for our religion. I mean, it's so bad now, you have people aren't even Muslim. You ain't even Muslim. You're all in our conversation telling us about what kind of Muslims we need to be, what kind of husbands we're supposed to be, what kind of wives we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to put up and can't put up in our own religion, in our own country where we've been enslaved. We're free now, hardly. That's how deep down the rabbit hole We're in it. But, however, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, praise be to Allah, we didn't got to stay in the rabbit hole, bro. We don't have to stay in the darkness. That's the whole idea of Islam. Islam was sent as a religion of truth for people who are dysfunctional, for people who don't have faith, for people who have some corruption, for people who have trauma, for people who have a history. It was set for those people. Islam wasn't set for the people. He got it all together. Although you can be Muslim and have it all together and say, I just want to add Islam to my overall togetherness. Finances is right. I'm well educated. I got the perfect family. I just need want to become Muslim just so I can, you know, lock down my hereafter or lock down my understanding of God. Yeah, but for real, Islam is submission. Islam is taking you out of submission to bring you into submission. It takes you out. Like Allah said, there's a verse in Quran, and I'm a preacher, so again, thanks for tuning in. If you tune into my show, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, praise be to Allah. My name is Imam Abu Layth Luqman Ibn Abd al-Karim Muhammad Ahmed, and that's all real. That's my name. I don't have a fake name. My name is Luqman. That's my name. Abu Layth. That's my son. One of my sons. His name is Layth. So my what they call kunya. My surname is Abu Layth, the son of Layth. Also, Abu Maryam. Abu Layth, the father of Layth. Abu Abd al-Karim. I got a son named Abd al-Karim. Abu Abd al-Karim. I got a son named Muhammad. Abu Muhammad. I got a daughter named Huda. I got a daughter named Wadi'a. Abu Wadi'a. Abu Huda. Abu Maryam. Abu Idris. They are all my legitimate names. That's how we get down. Ibn Abd al-Karim. That is my father. Abd al-Karim Muhammad Ahmed. Sheikh Abd al-Karim Muhammad Ahmed. That's my name. Welcome to my show. Calling number is 914-219-0874. And we're talking about what the heck happened to black Muslim marriage in our country, in our community. Because it's a jacked up situation. Now, when I say it's a jacked up situation, I mean it's a jacked up situation. But we have to deconstruct it. See, we got to break it down. We got to compartmentalize it if we want to do something. Now, if we don't want to do something, anything about our condition, you know what? There's nothing I can say about that. That's just messed up. But if you want to do something about your condition, there is always solutioning in the vision of Islam. It comes with the solutions, you know. But I want to go back to what I said earlier about the Islam bringing a person out of what we call jahiliyyah. Jahiliyyah means ignorance. It means all kinds of ignorance. But Allah says, Allahu waliyul ladina amanu. Allahu waliyul ladina amanu. Yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. Walladhina kafaru awliya'uhum at-taghut. يُخْرِجُونَهُمْ مِنَ النُّورِ إِلَى الظُّلُمَاتِ. This is a verse in the Holy Quran. I'm going to translate it for you. Again, the calling number is 914-219-0874. And feel free to call in if you want to talk about something. In the meantime, just pay attention. Right? Allah says, Allah is the friend of those who believe. He's the friend. Wali also means, it means friend, it means agent, it means a representative. It's like he working with the believers, okay? Allah is inclined towards the believers. But then he says, yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. That he takes them out of the many darknesses to the one light, right? And then he says, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, and those people who disbelieve, mean disbelieve in God, or disbelieve in Allah, disbelieve in the scripture, disbelieve in the prophet, disbelieve in the day of judgment, disbelieve in predestination, disbelieve in angels, disbelieve in the other prophets like Jesus, Moses, Abraham, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَوْلِيَاؤُهُمُ الطَّاغُوتُ. Their friends are طَاغُوتُ. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you what طَاغُوت is and the concept of طَاغُوت, which is the singular, plural, طَوَاغِيت in the Arabic language. And I'm going to explain to you in English what that means. طَاغُوت, as mentioned in the Holy Quran, it means anybody, anything, any entity who thinks that obedience to them, obedience to it, takes precedence over obedience to God, or obedience to it or following it is better than following God's way, that their guidance is better than God's guidance, better than Allah's guidance. That is called طاغوت in the Arabic language. And so Allah says in Quran, if you reject Allah, if you reject God, then your friend is طاغوت, who will take you out of the light into the many darknesses. Now, if we want to deal with marriage in Black Muslim America, then we have to deal with it based upon that concept. Concepts from Quran. If you really want to do something, man, you got to take some verses and you got to start looking at the reality of your situation through the verses of the Almighty God, through that lens, because He created the earth. He's the creator. He's still creating. He's still on His throne. He's still in charge. It ain't like He take a dog on vacation. Allah don't take vacations. He don't miss stuff. He lets stuff go out of His mercy, out of His patience, out of His testing people. So when I say that marriage in Black Muslim America is jacked up, yes, it is. It is jacked up. And I'm not going to use profanity on here, inshallah ta'ala. Can you? I don't know if I'm regulated. Anyway, no. I'm just joking. I'm just joking. But listen, no, it is. So in order for us as Black American Muslims, convert, white American. When I say Black American Muslims, I'm really talking about the descendants of slaves, but I'm also talking about white Americans, converts. Need to understand that. It ain't about the race thing. One race is no better than the other race. That's nonsense. But Black Americans just happen to be the most oppressed, the most marginalized, the newest civilization to the Muslim world. And the stepchildren. Nobody owns us. Nobody claims us. Ain't no African country that says, yeah, you know, they are people, and let us help them. No, man. We're from different countries. You can check your genes and check check your DNA. You may be from Nigeria. You might be from Cameroon. You might be from Sudan. You might be from Ghana. You might be from Senegal. And can go to those countries and they will probably embrace you as an individual. Not a whole bunch of niggas rule over one of them countries. It's not going to be like, oh, yeah, we're going to just take care of y'all. No, man, like that. So don't forget that. So when we talk about Black American Muslims in the United States of America, we're talking about a distinct people. We're not saying exclusively, okay? I just need to make that clear. Because my people are Muslim people. That's where I come from. I just happen to be Black, and we just happen to be in a pickle. And I'm an intellectual jihadist, brothers and sisters. Welcome to my show. The calling number is 914-219-0874. You're listening to Imam Abu Layth Luqman Ibn Abdul Karim Muhammad Ahmed. The name of my show is A Muslim Review. I'm actually thinking about changing the name of the show. I want to make it like the Imam Luqman Show or something like that. But anyway, so we're talking about what happened to Black American Muslim marriage in our country, because we are really having issues with this marriage thing. And there's different reasons for it. It's not one particular reason. It's not the man's fault. It's not the woman's fault. It's not, no. We all are responsible for our condition. the condition of a people don't change until they change. That's the reality. Allah says, "Inna Allaha la yughayyiru ma bi qawmin hatta yughayyiru ma bi anfusihim." Allah says, "Verily, Allah does not change the condition of a people until they change the condition of their own selves." That is what God says, and that is the truth. So you can't say, "Man, the men messed it up, the women messed it up," and you can't fall into the gender war bull crap. That's part of the problem. Another problem that we have to really, really consider is we have visiting ideologies that made a home into our Muslim psychology. We have feminism. You have modern day Freudian godless psychology that became part of our thinking pattern. Feminism just came in and kicked butt. We were being nice. Okay, we'll take a little feminism because we want our women to have more rights. We don't want to see abuse. I remember when Imam were like, "You know what? We need to address this domestic abuse thing." We were addressing it. I was doing my due diligence as an Imam. I'm not a domestic abuser. We were addressing the situation. And we were looking for answers. Then you had the feminists come in. "We'll take it from here, because they're traumatized." Okay. And we was like, I was like a little weird. Like, okay, we ain't got the resources. Y'all go and help our women. So, yeah. Then you want people to become, change their sexuality, all that kind of stuff. Do you want to bring back infected ideologies into Islam? Now, see, we can't have that. And that really has poisoned or idea of marriage, let alone poison marriages. All that stuff that happened. We have people, whether, listen, I don't advocate physical, emotional, psychological abuse in any marriage. But I remember how it went down. I know about the many, many thousands of marriages that ended where it could have been some sort of reconciliation, which is first in our religion. Reconciliation is way above the scale than divorce, according to the religion of Islam. We was making, man, divorce, if he touch you, you leave. Well, we got kids now. I don't care. Leave. Get the kids and go. Breaking up families like that. Where could have been some other solution? I know hundreds of couples, man. Like, what the heck happened? Now they are divorced and child support court, just still having sex. How about that? That's what's called when you're having somebody take you out of the light to the darkness. Now, of course, you know, it's not politically correct to talk about this kind of stuff, which is why I got my own show. And thank you for listening in. My name is Imam Abu Layth Luqman Ibn Abd al-Karim Muhammad Ahmed. The name of my show is The Muslim Review, and calling number is 914-219-0874, and we're talking about what happened to Black American Muslim marriages in this country. Okay, 8 out of 10 marriable adults in Muslim America are not married. In fact, it's much easier and simpler for brothers to get a non-Muslim girlfriend than it is for him to get a Muslim wife. I mean, especially in this age where we make getting married extremely difficult for men and women. You can walk into a Walmart and get a girlfriend and still get all your shopping done. Seriously. As long as you get out of there before 8:30, that's when Walmart closes now. Walk in, find yourself a woman. You can find yourself a man too. It's a little harder. But you're a brother. You want to find a man, get out of here. That's just the truth, right? It won't be halal, but you can make it halal. Much easier than getting a Muslim woman. You got to jump through a lot of hoops for the Muslim woman, depending upon what kind of Muslim woman we're dealing with, how much programming we got to go through. I'm not putting down Muslim. I love our women. Make it no mistake about it. I'm a man that love women, and I love Muslim women. I'm not talking about the sexual sense. No, these are my sisters in Islam. I am sworn to protect them. I'm sworn by God to look out for our women to the best of my ability. That's a contract between me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So no, I don't dislike women. I don't hate women. I'm not a misogynist. And I don't really care if you think I am or not. I'm just really, you need to, if you want to know what I think, you have to listen to me. You have to read me. I write a lot. You have to Google Luqman Ahmed somewhere. Go to my blog, which, by the way, is Imam Luqman, I-M-A-M as in Mary, L-U-Q-M-A-N, .wordpress.com. That is my blog, and that's where I put the bulk of my ideas and my conclusions about Muslim America and other issues as well. But yeah, no, you can walk into a Walmart and get, so let's not, okay, let's get off of that part. But the issue is, they're now being in the middle of a coronavirus pandemic does not make getting married any easier. We've denigrated marriage. We made it so difficult. We created a utopian view of marriage in our minds. We love the clouds, and made divorce the go-to option when there are signs of unhappiness, trouble, difficulty, testing. Oh, you're tested. Ah, divorce. Doggone it. Did he act like he was going to hit you? Divorce him now. Get out the house. I'm not justifying hitting on a woman, but now hitting is an equal opportunity. Nobody say, brother, your wife is in your face and she slapped the heck out of you. You need to leave her and the kids. Bye. Take the kids. Man, we got too many people in our business. That's one problem. That's a big problem. We got too many people in our business to be grown-ass Muslim men and women. That is a problem. That is a problem. At some point, you got to grow up. You can't have everybody in your business telling you who you can marry, who you can't marry, who you can be with, who you can't be with. How many wives can you have, brother? Somebody, yeah, brother, he has four wives. He don't make, man, that ain't none of your damn business. How many wives somebody got, unless it's your daughter, maybe your sister, your family, your ward, your guardian. You have to have some kind of contractual or family connection to be all up in somebody's marriage. That's just part of Islamic protocol. That's called adab, manners and protocol, okay? But nevertheless, we got a problem, right? And so many Black American Muslims are giving up finding a spouse and opting for a boyfriend, girlfriend, or a special friend. And we all know what a special friend. Who's that? That's my friend. So I'm like, a brother, I stop by your house, check on you. A woman answered the door. Who was that? That's my friend. What, Idris? Yeah. Okay, I got, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, while I'm doing this radio show, I got two kids. I'm a single dad. And they don't even recognize, like, radio, none of that kind of stuff. Like, whatever, man. I believe these songs. But I did try to tell them. So we may be getting interrupted here and there, but don't worry about it. They're in the refrigerator, Reese. They're in the refrigerator. Look at this, okay? But you know what? That's because I'm that kind of imam. What can I tell you? Okay? I haven't reached the Hollywood level yet. I don't have the apparatus for the big production. I don't have staff like that. I don't got engineers like that. My studio is in my dining room, okay? So, and that's what we're working with. And alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. That's neither here nor there. It's about the message, okay? And again, thank you for tuning into my show. I hope you're finding it some entertainment here. You know, I can't do song and dances, but I do know a couple jokes. But thanks for tuning into my show. This is Imam Luqman Ahmed. My show is the Muslim Review, and today we're talking about what the heck happened to Black American, Muslim American. Okay, Idris. Okay, but you got to put this back in the refrigerator. And this is deep. You're all up in my house, but you know, it's okay. Actually, the Prophet, you know, we pattern ourselves after the Prophet. Medieval, here, put this in the refrigerator. We pattern ourselves after Rasulullah as much as we can. You know, nobody is like all the way just like the Prophet. You know, the only one who's exactly like the Prophet is the Prophet. It's the Prophet Muhammad. May peace and blessings be upon him. And so, and again, I do appreciate you listening in, and I guess you're going to have to hear about me. I'm boring. But anyway, my own personal history as an imam is I've always been a kind of street-level imam. I'm not going to say a street imam, but kind of like a grassroots imam, if you call it that. You know, I mean, I can interact with other imams. I can interact with intellectuals. I can interact with scholars. Many of my friends are scholars. My colleagues are scholars of Islam. You know, writers like myself, public speakers like myself. But I don't get any invitations to too many, like, the big conferences, man, because I don't know how to keep my mouth shut, man. You know. And I admit, I've had times to say, man, keep the topic like this. Don't say, and I get up there, and you start telling me I can't talk about this, man. I just have a thing with that. I always did since I was a little boy. I remember being in grade school, man. Don't start telling me what I can say, because, you know, I'm an American citizen. We have freedom of speech, man. You know, you can say that we don't, but I think that we do. I think that we do. And so, let's get back to the information, to the topic at hand. And so, with the problem that we're having as Black American Muslims in this country, with marriage, right? We made marriage difficult, divorce to go to position, goes to option, you know. And so, a lot of Muslims, and this is really what I wanted to get to, a lot of Muslims are giving up finding a spouse, and they're opting for a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a friend. So wait a minute, you know, it's too difficult. Like, damn, we put these false financial expectations. Listen, a man should be able to take care of his family the best he can. And right now, for most families, many families, you need two incomes if you really want to keep your head above water. If not, mashallah, a man should at least have a house, have an apartment. You want to get married? Okay, man, at least I can take care of most of the bills. Woman comes, alhamdulillah, she wants to stay home and, you know, sit on her, I mean, she, you know, okay, at least do some housework if you want to do that. Or maybe she's a professional, she want to help, alhamdulillah. Maybe she make more money than him, no problem. That shouldn't be any problem. We have examples from our own Prophet where that was the case, okay. But when you start making these things obstacles, listen, I'm going to tell you a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. He said, "Idha atakum man taradawna dinahu wa khuluqa tazawwaju. Wa in lam taf'al fatakun fitnatun fil ardi wa fasadun kabir." Prophet ﷺ, he said, if anybody comes to you and you're satisfied with their religion, you know, the way they practice their faith and their character, then marry that person. I mean, marry them, you know, marry them with daughters or marry, you know, marry them, get them married. Get them married to somebody. Right? But he said, but if you don't, he says, wa in lam taf'alu. But if you don't do that, there will be much fitna, much trial in the earth, and much corruption. This is what the Prophet said. If you don't do it that way, man, listen, it's going to be all bad. And so some of what we are experiencing as Black American Muslims with regard to marriage, we have to consider that some of that is what we have created ourselves by our neglect of our scripture. Ain't nobody's perfect. But if some of that is due to what we have created ourselves, what we have allowed, then ibshir, I'm going to bring you glad tidings. Because if your pathology or your personal dysfunction as a human being Muslim can be traced to your neglection or your neglect of your own scripture as a Muslim, then it can be fixed by your scripture. See, that's the good thing. You understand what I'm saying? Let me say that one more time. And again, calling number is 914-219-0874. This is your host, Imam Abu Layth Luqman Ibn Abdul Karim Muhammad Ahmed. And you're listening to the Muslim Review. And we're talking about what the heck happened to Black American Muslim marriage. Okay? If you can trace your problems that you have, and we all have problems in life. Ain't nobody perfect. Ain't even like that. Stop letting people tell you that. Stop letting people tell you, look at this sheikh because he is the epitome of the prophet. That I do not believe that. I've never seen that, and I know a lot of sheikh. Some are good examples. Some are better examples than others. But our example is the messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullahi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Allah says, verily in the messenger of Allah is a very good example to follow. Right? So, if you can trace the problems in your marriage, almost every marriage ain't gonna work out. Everybody don't get along. You have compatibility issues. You got a lot of stuff going on. So, we're not gonna solve this in one talk show conversation. Give me a break with that. But we're gonna start kicking some of these doors in so we can have the conversation. Because some conversations, and you just gotta kick the door in. Because people ain't trying to hear it. They're not trying to listen to it. You know? You can't get a word in edgewise. You gotta be you have to be a politically correct and all that. So some conversations you just really have to just kick the door open. Like boom. Or you knock and you just say, can I come in with the conversation? What you want? I wanna be nice, and you open up a little bit and they open up a little bit and you kick that joint open. And I'm telling you, that happens. That's the way to do it. I mean, I'm not talking about no violence. I'm not talking about physically kicking the door open, but you have to kick the door open to certain dialogue in Muslim America because we have been chained by our own devices and even by us inviting other ideological visitors into the world of Islam, mainly feminism, mainly Freudian psychology, behavioral psychology, what a man should do, what a woman should do, what's right, what's acceptable, what's not acceptable, has nothing to do with our scripture. You know, we let that come in. And it's not, you know, we were naive about stuff, okay? But now we got the problem with Muslim marriage. Okay, you got 8 out of 10 Black American Muslims that visit Masajid aren't married. And of course, those statistics mainly come from anecdotal evidence. Me talking to imams, talking to Muslims all over the country for years. And seeing the decline. We witnessed the decline. If you're going to say, where's the agency to study that? Ain't none. There is none. People study who study from outside looking in. The study of Black Muslim America on a ground level does not exist as far as I know. Detailed study. People do not want to hear that because you got to deal with too many issues. You got to deal with racism. You got to deal with Black self-hate. You got to deal with the Toby Muhammad syndrome. If you know what that is, it just means that's like the step and fetch it within Islam. You're Toby Muhammad. All you want is some Muslim from a Muslim country to pat you on your head and tell you you're a good Muslim and you happy. Well, all you got to do is give you salams and give you a prayer rug and give you a Quran or maybe give you a hadith book. Oh, you're really happy now. And they can run anything on you after that. That's Toby Muhammadism. Comes from, you know, Toby in the movie Roots. Anyway, it's a long story. But So we have these ideological guests that's come into Islam, and we think according to it. Listen, the Prophet himself said, "La yu'min ahadukum hatta yakuna hawahu taba'an lima ji'tu bihi." None of you have believed until his whim is in congruence with what I've come with, right? And so the question is, what are we going to do about this? Now, so listen, and now we have COVID-19, the pandemic, man. Listen, if you were already married before the COVID-19 pandemic, then you're probably in no rush to change your living situation, right? You already married, got married, you ready to get along. You ain't saying, man, let me go outside, let me leave him, or let me leave her. Let's get a divorce, split the children. Man, that's going to make me twice as likely to, you know, to catch the COVID. You know, you're splitting the family up. Instead of all being in one house, now you're in two houses, maybe three houses, maybe one on the street. I don't know. Okay? So if you were already married before the COVID-19 pandemic, then you're in no rush to change your living situation. In fact, you're probably spending more time with your spouse and your family and your kids. And you probably have a more heightened sense of survival that probably will help your marriage. But post-COVID pandemic and you're still single, okay, well, it's not that easy anymore. I mean, if marriage in Black Muslim America was in jeopardy before the era of COVID-19, which most of us would say that it was. Most American Muslims, especially Black American Muslims, we acknowledge, man, we have our marriage is some stuff going on, man. Right? So if you're having a problem with if we had problems in Black Muslim America with our marriages before the COVID-19 pandemic, right? Then after the COVID-19 pandemic, the problem is even worse. So if we were on, if we just had problems before, now we're on life support, right? And so the question is, what can we do about it? Because if there wasn't enough hurdles, because we got hurdles about marriage. And listen, it's not just us. Don't think of it, man, we just messed up. It's not like that. It's a lot of different things together. And you have to keep in mind that for the last 50 years in Sunni Islam in America, we haven't been discussing nothing about our issues. We all were told what to say, what to think, how to view the world. We couldn't talk about niggerized marriages. We couldn't talk about the way we do divorce. We couldn't talk about child custody laws, how that impact us and how we need to maybe have our own system of child custody within the masjid structure. We couldn't talk about none of that stuff. So all the problems just simply accumulated. And some of these problems were darkness problems, meaning it was a problem of misguidance. It was a problem of ignorance. It was a problem of jahiliyyah. It was a problem of heresy within our faith. It was a problem of shirk, polytheism in our faith. It was a problem of you half Muslim, you half unbeliever. It was a problem of neglect of our scripture. It was a problem of disrespect for our scholars, not even thinking they were capable of scholarship as Black American Muslims in this country, even though we're the same people who have all kind of inventions that build bridges, helped design the White House. We all saw the discoveries from the peanut. So much. Discoveries, traffic lights, all kind of stuff. We're the same people, but in Islam, we're like, y'all ain't nothing. You can't contribute. So there was a mindset and there's still a mindset that dismisses Black American Muslim intellectualism. We're not intellectuals, we're niggas. That's just the truth. I'm glad this is my show. I don't think I can get censored. Cause it's an internet show. I pay for it, so I guess I'm okay. Right? So all these problems accumulate. Marriage is not by itself. Everything in the religion of Islam, brothers and sisters, if you don't get anything else out of this show except this point right here. Everything in the religion of Islam, it is all connected. It's all connected. Life is all connected, man. So when we talk about the problem of marriage, you know, we have to isolate it for the sake of solutioning, which is one of the processes of solutioning in Islam. Let me tell you something. This is our science. I'm an imam. 25 years in the field. So solutioning in Islam and according to law, the Sharia law, when you approach solutioning, you always approach it compartmentally. If you want a solution to the problems in your family, you got to look at the husband. You got to look at the wife. You got to look at the children. You even got to look at the house. Anybody who's involved. You got to look at everything. You got to look at the idea. There's a lot of stuff. Takes work. Takes time. We don't do that. We just got lonely mams trying to figure stuff out on our own. And that's what you're getting right now. So you're listening to Imam Abu Layth Luqman Ibn Abd al-Kadim Muhammad Ahmed at the Muslim Review talk show, interactive. I'm not getting any calls, but feel free to call in 914-219-0874. We're talking about what happened to Black American Muslim marriages, and we're going to take a moment to do a commercial, and I'm going to get back to the show. And by the way, the commercial is live, and it's me talking. Assalamu alaikum. This is Imam Abu Layth Luqman Ibn Abd al-Kadim Muhammad Ahmed. I'm the host of the show, The Muslim Review, and I want to tell you about a fundraiser that we're going on my Facebook page. It's a fundraiser to help preserve the Black American Muslim history, and to tell our own narratives and to tell our own stories. And we're starting first with the Daughter of Islam movement, and we're telling a story about the Daughter of Islam movement in America, and we're gathering evidences and gathering anecdotal evidence, and we're talking to people. I happen to have been grew up in that particular organization. And so we're going to talk about that. And we're also going to be writing about other biographies of Muslims, pioneers in Muslim America. And the fundraiser is on my Facebook page at Luqman Ahmed, LuqmanAhmad. And I'll make it available. You can find it, but I can make it on the front, inshallah ta'ala. And appreciate your support. Thank you very much. And back to our show. Okay. That was my commercial. Now I'm back to the show. Yeah, buddy. Okay, so we're looking at how to deal with this situation, okay? Because this marriage, family, raising our children is a big part of our faith practice. So within our modern age, and we're not going to, stop it tonight, but within our modern age and during this time of fitna, of trial, we have to look for ways to make marriage easier and simpler, especially considering the coronavirus pandemic, which may be with us for some time. Looks like we're going to be riding this horse for a minute. they're trying to make money on this. Anyway, I'm not even going to get into the coronavirus issue. We have to do a special show on that. But especially during the coronavirus pandemic, which, like I said, is going to be around for a long time. So fornication is going to always be easy, right? We know that the prophet prophesied the time will come. There'll be 50 women to one man. And that may not mean literally. Sometimes when the prophet mentioned numbers, he didn't mean literal numbers. It was just to show kethra. It was just to show a lot. That's just at the way that they speak in the Arabic language. You say there's 1,000 problems. I mean, I mean 1,000 per se. There's many hadith about that where he mentioned the number, you know. I'll give you one example. The prophet said, Al-alim wahid, one knowledgeable Muslim, scholarly Muslim, ashadda ala shaytani min alfi abid, is harder on the shaytan than 1,000 ignorant worshippers. 1,000. But he's harder on the shaitan than 500. Anything less than that, if he has knowledge. You understand what I'm saying? The prophet mentions that number just to show a mabalagha, just to show the severity, the extent of the problem of having no knowledge and shaitan running up all through our ranks. That's another story. But you may get more than one story on our show. You're listening to the Muslim Review with Imam Abu Layth Luqman Ahmed. And our call-in number is always going to be, as you listen to shows in the future, 914-219-0874. And we're talking about Black American Muslim marriage and their decline. So we know marriage, faith, and family is part of our faith. It's a big part of our faith. Fornication is easy. Right-hand possessions can only be accumulated, can only be acquired through war. So you have a lot of women out there, single, trying to raise kids. And a lot of these kids are, you know, they're not staying Muslim. It's just too much. Okay? And so then we have the boyfriend and girlfriend. We got that. We got some issues going on. So and so let's talk about halal sex. And you can call in 914-219-0874. Or maybe you just want to listen. Because I'm doing a lot of talking. Let me take a sip of my coffee. I got some really good coffee here too.
Mariamo,
can you close that refrigerator, please? It's beeping. See? Just to kind of near my y'all, but y'all in my house listening to me. Okay, so where was I? Okay, I said let's talk about halal sex. What is halal sex? Halal sex is halal sex. If you're listening, you should know what halal sex is if you're Muslim. If you're not, because I think I'm going to get some non-Muslims in my audience, and I like that. And then you can call. You don't have to be Muslim to call in. You don't even have to agree with me to call in. Except, you know, you got to be nice. They got to be polite. Don't just come on and show being all disrespectful and stuff. But you can, I can take a punch. I can take an ideological hit. I'm what's called an intellectual jihadist. That's my term. That made up. It means we fight with our words. That's what it means. We fight with our brain, our ideas. We defend Islam with our words, and we listen to reason. It's a different type of Islamic arguments that you heard before. I was born and raised in Philadelphia. I'm an American. I ain't no all flag waving like that, but I do got an American flag on my door because I love my country and I claim it as mine, just as mine as anybody else's. I love the USA. I don't like everything about them that we do, but damn, this is a damn good country to live in, man. I've always said that. I've always felt that. Don't pretty much care what anybody think about that. Okay? So let's go back to the halal sex issue, though. The halal sex. Now, people, you know, as an imam, I like being, you know, where I can hear what the heck people are talking about. I want to know. In fact, let me just see. Because you can call in. It's 914-219-0874. Okay? And I'm going to put live. Damn. I need to really understand how to work this stuff. But anyway, let's talk about halal sex. Okay. Halal sex, okay, the way it works is this. Okay. Muslims, we're Muslim, we're not supposed to engage in fornication or adultery. Halal sex means that we've gotten married to that person. And now, we can have all the sex we want with that person. Because we're married before God and before people. And marriage has to be public in Islam. So, you can't, you know, it's like you're, if you're at the Walmart and with your girl, I mean, it has to be clear, that's my wife. This is my husband. Okay. And sometimes people get married because they're so darn horny. Ain't nothing wrong with that. This is real. We live in a sexualized society, man. If you ain't getting sex and you're used to having sex and you want some sex, you want to have sex. Okay? So people get married. So you have people who criticize, man, this is marrying to have sex. It should be some great purpose, you know. Some great spiritual objective of marriage, and there should be, and that there is for some. There is, but not for everybody. And Allah allows latitude. You know, the best way to get married, I think, is to get married with the idea of serving the Lord, of helping each other, loving each other, of course, being faithful and staying married. That should be that's the objective. You have to have the idea to stay married. That has to be your intention. Otherwise, the marriage could be invalid because it's a temporary marriage. In temporary marriage, there are differences of opinions amongst Muslims about temporary marriage between the Shia part of Islam and the Sunni part of Islam. And we ain't going into it tonight. Okay? We're trying to deal with our problems. So the halal marriage, even though people criticize it, man, people don't like fast marriages. But what I'm telling you, halal marriage, you know what? One thing about halal sex is that it's halal. It's permissible. And that's the key word here. We have what we call the desirable. Of course, we want it to be everything perfect, set up, nice wedding, nice reception, nice walima, nice dowry. It'd be nice and perky. Well, of course, who don't want that? Yeah, no, he's so good. He's just my total match. Oh, she's my total match. I'm in love. I love him so much. That's great. I'm not knocking. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. That's mercy. Allah says, "Women ayatihi, an khalaqalakum min anfusikum azwaja." And from amongst his many signs, he has created for you from your own selves azwaja, spouses, litaskunu ilayha, to live in harmony with them. Wa ja'ala bainakum mawaddatan wa rahma, and he has made between you, meaning the husband and the wife, mawadda, which is a type of deep love. It's not strictly emotional love, it's inner love, it's spiritual type of love. mawadda. It's meaningful love. Wa rahma, and mercy. Allah said that He make that for you in your marriages. And then He says, inna fi dhalika, verily, in that, the ayatin, are signs, so that she can reflect. Okay? So we have that. And that's fantastic. But some people want to get married because they want to have sex. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's what I'm telling you. Some people want to get married because they don't want to fornicate. And there's nothing wrong with that. And we have to be careful as Muslims. I'm telling you. We have to follow our laws in this juncture in our history. Because there's too many missteps. You can make one step and you're not following the law. You're not following the Quran or the Sunnah. And next thing you know, you're in some ideological cotton field and don't know north, south, east, or west. Happens all the time, right? So the ideal is to have that kind of marriage. Man, we checked the guarantee of the soul. We soulmates, folks. You know, but some people want to get married to have sex. Many people want to get married because they want sex and they don't want to fornicate. So when that happens, we need to follow the law and make it happen that way. There's nothing wrong with that. That's following the Sharia. Following the Sharia of Islam. Okay? And we shouldn't stigmatize that. I mean, people ask people, why did you get married? Or why did you marry him? Or why did you marry her? But no one asks, why did you fornicate? Or why did you sleep with him? Or why did you sleep with her? It's like wanting haram sex is completely understandable, no question to ask. But wanting halal sex is like, what? Wait a minute. You better think about that. It just goes to show how far we have went down the rabbit hole. Ready for the haram, but not ready for the halal. And again, this is your host, Abu Layth Luqman Ibn Abdul Karim Muhammad Ahmed, and you're listening to The Muslim Review. Somebody, I'm going on Facebook, somebody sent me something about some kind of show that's going on. Well, my show is going on. And I tell you something, oh, sister show, looks really good. Whoa. The Journey to Understanding, the Dope Muslim Woman Podcast. Okay, I'll get back to that. Okay. But anyway, I'm going to finish my show, sister that sent me this. You should be listening to my show. But interesting discussion. I'm not even going to wane in, but I'm glad some of these women are waking up. And I'm not going to say it's a woke-up situation or not, but alhamdulillah, it's all good. Okay, now back on the other side, brothers and sisters, you're listening to Imam Abu Layth Luqman Ibn Abdul Karim Muhammad Ahmed, and you're listening to the Muslim Review. Our topic has been what the heck happens in Black American Muslim marriages, and we're getting through it. Now, I want to talk about marriage. We're just talking about halal sex and stuff like that. Okay, halal is halal. I want to talk about marriage and contract. I think we'll kind of coast the show out on this topic right here. Okay. And this is kind of like a teaching radio show, but it's just, you can call in though. And I know we've got people listening and everything, alhamdulillah. And you can listen to the show post airing too, because this show was recorded. And, but let's go back to, yeah. Got me looking. I'm watching stuff while I'm on the radio here. I'm looking at these sisters, man, and see which one Do I like that? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, so let's talk about marriage and contract. Okay, so marriage is work. We get that. And it can be, blissful at times. It can be a full-blown love affair, and it also can be a nightmare. We all know that part. And so, but marriage, through all its difficulties, no matter what, it's also a contract. And so the contractual approach to marriage is more in keeping with the Sharia aims of the institution. It's more Sharia compliant when you're approaching marriage from a contractual perspective, okay, from the contract, right? If you look at it from the contractual part, right, then everything is more clearly defined. Each person knows what they expect from the other, and they can agree with what they will expect from the other and where they're going to hold each other accountable. Okay? And, some leaders, I hate that. Okay, so, and that's based on the verse where Allah says, Biyadihi uqdatun nikah. In his hand is the contract of marriage, in Surah Al-Baqarah. So because marriage is a contract, it can be tailor-made to fit the individuals involved in the contract, as long as that's in keeping with the boundaries of Sharia law. So sometimes a person doesn't want a full immersion, 24/7 type of marriage. They may not work for them at this juncture in their life, but they still want to maintain their chastity. They still want to live honorably. So in that case, you can amend a marriage contract by mutual agreement in a way that works for you and works for your spouse. That is Islam. It's just the part of Islam that we often neglect. Contracts, incidentally, has to do with everything in Islam. Everything in Islam is a contract. Everything. Your prayers are a contract. Your going to Hajj is a contract between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your observance of Ramadan is a contract between you and Allah. Right? And so the idea is that we don't want a situation where, although we are Muslims, fornication is our norm. Simply saying fornication is haram is not enough. Not enough without supplying an alternative. We know about fasting, but what's next after that? What is next when we live in a highly sexualized society and we're living in the last days? Marriage is our best shot, and that's where we need to focus. If you want to focus on marriage, a couple things you got to do. You have to look at the law, you look at the latitude, you got to look at the foreign elements, the foreign ideological elements, whether it's coming from marriage is usually that's coming from locals, not abroad. Sheikhs have not ruined, I mean, from overseas. Scholars from overseas have not attacked marriage, as far as I can see. No. They have not tried to, no, that's not what they did. But domestically, oh, I got a call. Let me get my call right away because I want to hear what they got to say. All right. Assalamu alaikum. This is Imam Luqman.
Wa alaikum salam. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Imam Luqman, it's a pleasure to call in to your show. Sorry I called in so late. I was taking care of something over online at the same time. But it's a very interesting topic. And something that all of us are in need of learning more about and listening to where our other Muslim brothers and sisters are on this subject as well, marriage.
Well, thank you so much for calling, sister. I'm very excited to listen to your question. But let me ask you one question first, okay?
Sure.
Because I'm just getting back on the air, and I'm just kind of getting used to the flow. How does my show sound? Am I doing a good delivery, or am I talking right, or what, you know?
Yeah, I mean, your delivery is fine from what I can. I've been listening to it for the last 30 minutes and while I was taking care of other things, but the delivery is fine. The topic is fine. I mean, you moved to different topics to keep it interesting. And I think the subject of the topics is very interesting.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, and I mean, and the delivery, I think that's the important part. The delivery seems to be very good to me. Yeah.
Well, sis, that makes me feel good. I appreciate the compliment, and I can accept the criticism as well. I'm really trying to feel my show out. So do you have a question? Do you have a comment? Do you want to say something? And the floor is yours.
I just wanted to say that a lot of people in our country here in the United States, they have a fictitious view of marriage. Some of them are in La La Land prior to marriage in terms of their relationships with the other person or prospective individual. And we really need to have more education on that. What's real and what's not real. And so I guess it's more of a comment that I have more so than a question. But I've seen people get married because, I think I love him, or, you know, or look at him, you know, he's so fine or whatever, you know. And they kind of miss the whole point by getting too emotionally involved in that on that level from the jump, instead of asking more sensible questions and getting their wali together. And that's one of the mistakes that a lot of us make. We don't utilize a wali, an effective wali. And then we try to take matters into our own hands. So that can be very, I don't know, catastrophic.
I see a lot of problems around that. Yeah, absolutely.
And a lot of mistakes are made when that happens, because when people get so over the top, you know, maybe in the presence of another person, or even listening to the other person without a mediator or chaperone and all that, I don't know, they just stop thinking clearly, you know. They don't think as clearly as they could be. And they need to be asking questions, more important questions. It's a lot of questions that they need to ask, but if they are interested in starting a family, like if they're young people and they're, you know, never had any children, they should ask, it's questions that they would even ask before they ask about children. Yeah. But, you know, in terms of, you know, well, what are some of your goals in life? Where do you want to live? You know, since in getting married and you find out that somebody wants to live in India and you don't want to live in India, you know.
Right.
You know.
That could be a shocker. Well, you know, one thing about, just to touch on this thing about the guardianship and the questions, what has worked for a lot of Muslim societies was contractual marriages, where people become married. They're married to each other contractually, and they are halal for each other. But they put off consummating the marriage. They put that off. Sometimes they even put off living together, so that there's a period of time where you really get to know that person. You can be in the company of that person, and it's totally permissible, you know. And if they decide to consummate the marriage, you know, during one of those intervals, that's fine too. But they don't. They wait. Sometimes you can give yourself 6 months. You can give yourself 3 months. We're married contractually, but we're not going to consummate the marriage at all. We're going to use this time to get to know each other. And because that way, if they happen to come to the conclusion, you know what, we're not suited for each other, neither one of them have had sex with each other, and there's no idda. If they divorce, there's no waiting period, and the honor is still intact for most people. You know, for both involved, there's no children, nobody's pregnant, and all that, and it lessens that type of divorce. That's just one thing that I suggested. I think that would work to a great degree.
I think that's one of the best forms. I think that's one of the best forms to do it that way, because when you do it contractually first, not just, you know, do a crash list, you know, moving in together right away and all that.
Right,
it gives you
exactly.
time to adjust, to do some mental adjustments, to do some soul searching and thinking in terms of how you, whether it's the man or the woman, you know, how you want to, how you intend to, I can't even think of the word, but, you know, live through this marriage, you know. Doing the contract up is one thing, and hopefully that would have a lot of the things that you want in the contract. The understanding is that people will honor the contract, and hopefully things will, you know, work out. But like you said, the thing that's good about that is it gives you a chance to iron out some things maybe that weren't specifically or in detail handled or touched in the during the contractual period, and things will come out. People need time.
Yeah.
It's no rush.
Exactly. And that's a time of discovery, because you may discover things about that person's past that you don't like, that haven't reconciled. Mm-hmm. People discover things about themselves, and the good thing about that is that if it's really, everything in Islam is contract. Marriage is a contract. And so if we use the latitude of contract to help us navigate through into marriages, then you're going to have a much more stable marriage. You're going to have a much more informed marriage. And, you know, I mean, they do that in Muslim countries. In fact, sometimes they marry, you know, take a place like Pakistan. That's routine. But also many people in Pakistan, they marry within their family. So a lot of times the person's marrying their cousin. And that was, you know, I mean, two brothers have children, and they'd agree, okay, you know what, my son, he's 12, your daughter is 12, we're going to marry, that's his wife. Right, they're going to go to college, finish high school. They can talk and they can whatever. And then, you know, when they're ready, they'll consummate that marriage. But if one of the other guys, well, I don't really like my cousin. they can sever that contract, and you know, they can go on their way. But they haven't done anything. There's no shame there. There's no, you know, they may not even had. Attached to each other emotionally. You know, it's a contract. Mm-hmm. And I've seen contractual marriages work for the whole duration of people's lives. For the whole duration.
Right.
For the whole duration. 30, 40,
the whole duration,
50 years.
That's a beautiful thing, man. That's a beautiful thing. When it works like that, when it works, that's good.
Yeah. And there's supporting elements. You know, you have Muslim families, you have generational continuity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of you know, once we start talking about marriage in Islam, marriage is connected to every other part of Islam. So as Black Muslim Americans, we are just separate from everything, because we're slaves. We were slaves. You know, they took everything. Took the language, took the connection, the family connection, severed families, even within slavery, severed families. So we're kind of building our way back. That's why I wanted to have this kind of conversation. And I write about these things in my writings, and I post on Facebook about this kind of stuff. We have to have these conversations, and just so that we know what we're dealing with, you know what we're dealing with is Black American Muslims. This is our situation. And we look to Sharia law, we look to the Quran and the Sunnah to see what areas from the Quran and Sunnah fit our pathology. That's just the way that I really very strongly think that we should approach things. You have to be real about the problem. If you're not going to be real about the problem, then there's no sense in talking about solutions, because you're going to get a solution that's not even to your problem. You know, so we don't want to get solutions. Well, we do. We often get solutions that are suitable for somebody else's problem, not our problem. You know, and so on.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's just one way about it.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. That's good. I think that it's because we have lost so much in our situation in America, and we've been stripped of our heritage, our lineage, ancestry lineage, and our even our a lot of our cultural heritage, you know, and just the connection, the losing the connections of family lineage is devastating. It's devastating. And because it's just so much that is passed down through generations that that has been learned already, and so much is passed down to the young to realize what the things that have been learned. And we have lost a lot of that. You know, we've lost that, and we don't. Yes.
I want to say that a lot of what we have lost, we can get it back. And sister, what's your name?
Sister Rashida.
Sister Rashida, I want to thank you for calling in. I got another call in, and this is only my second call.
Thank you so much.
And I'm anxious. And thank you, and thanks for listening. And we'll be broadcasting again in a couple of days. I'm trying to get our schedule so it's a regular interval. But I think our next broadcast will be on Friday. I'll post it on my Facebook page. And JazakAllah Khair for calling in. I'm going to the next caller.
Waikum. Waikum. Waalaikum salam.
Okay, next caller. Assalamu alaikum. This is Imam Abu Layth Luqman. You're listening to the Muslim Review. And you're live. State your name and say what you want to say.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
Sheikh Luqman, this is Imam Tariq. How you been, brother?
Imam Tariq, my man. I'm doing good, brother.
My man.
Hey, brother, listen, man. We need to do a show together. Me and you.
Yes.
One of these next episodes coming up, whether we're going to do the show on the radio, or we're going to do a Zoom show, or like the Imam Forum, man. Me and you got to get up on there and talk to the people, man. For real.
You're absolutely right, Imam Luqman. I've been following you, listening to you, reading your posts. You know, we on the same page. Alhamdulillah, man. May Allah reward you for your diligent warrior position. It's needed. Definitely.
No, we got to take the. But you know, here's the thing, brother. Here's the thing. You know, like, yeah, we're in La La Land. We're in a mob territory right now. You know, I'm a Godfather fan. You know, I'm from Philly. Right? I'm a cowboy movie fan. I like Tombstone. I like that wider stuff. So you know, I kind of look at myself as one of those. You too. You got that spirit too. Like, we basically taking shots, man. But we're taking measured shots. We're not just trying to wreck everything. We're taking shots based upon deen. You know, based upon Islam. And you know, that's just where we have to go with it right now, because you know, Islam cut through, like Allah says, "Qul jaa al-haq wa zahaqa al-batil inna al-batila kana zahuqa." You know, true gets tough. So we know that, you know, and so that to me is exciting. Listen, we don't, alhamdulillah, Allah made it. We ain't got to go out and fight nobody in the street. We're American. We live in America, civilized, at least to some degree, where we ain't got to fight the battle with guns and swords. We can fight the battle intellectually, Islamically, man. You know, still same demons, you know. So it's just that's the platform. So, I really want to I'm trying to learn this technology here, man. I'm trying to learn this technology. I'm not really technical. I got the Zoom thing, so I got to figure out how to do it. But But I want to have us both on camera. I think we do better on camera, man. Both of us. So I'm going to be moving towards that, man. But I'm glad you're listening to the show, brother. And alhamdulillah. I mean, I made it a little longer this time. And I'm glad I got a couple callers in too, because I don't want to talk to myself. I like having. I work best when there's dialogue for me as an imam, as an individual. I like best, but I just want to really thank you though, imam, for pulling my coat that time. Brother, you may not really know how significant that was. You know, like you really pulled my coat. In such a beautiful way. What are you trying to argue? Like, he was like, brother, just call me, man. We ain't got to go through this in front of everybody. That was like, just wake up. It just woke me up. Like, when we talk, I said, this dude is on it, right? And so now, I listen to you and I feel what you're saying and stuff. So I'm really grateful for that, because it really helped me as a Muslim listening to another Muslim. And that was really a brotherhood move. That was like a brotherhood. And probably also due to your background as a counselor, you working in the prisons, you working with people that have issues. You work with them all the time. Yeah. And you came at me almost like a client. Hold up, dude. We ain't got to do all this now, right? I mean, that was phenomenal. That was phenomenal. You really became adult. And we don't have to argue in front of the Facebook. We can just talk on the phone and work it out instead of arguing for these jokes. I mean, not everybody's a joker, but man, that really helped me a lot. You know, that really helped me a lot. And that was just a father of Allah that, because at the bottom line, in the Mu'minuna Ikhwa, very believers of brotherhood. And this fight that we're doing, we're fighting for our survival, man.
Absolutely.
Fighting for our survival. And then people not going to like certain things. Certain things, people are not gonna like it. They gonna argue with you. Like I saw the issue about the chain, you know.
Absolutely.
You know? that was wild. Issue about the chain.
Yeah.
Scholars say, you know, and that's like a colonial thing, you know, because we have that in Black Muslim America. Well, the sheikhs overseas is the sheikh said that means this is the hot. You know, we had that. You dealt with it really good. I had to weigh in a little bit. On the legal side, you know, because there's Sharia that affects with all of us. But it's just that's the kind of fight we're in. Now, even though right now people are like, okay, because sometimes they look at things as a new idea, and it's not necessarily a new idea. It's the Sharia law. We just aren't utilizing the full breadth of what has been made available to us as far as the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We haven't explored, you know.
Mm-hmm. And Imam, alhamdulillah, this is the truth, man. The same way, man, I listen to you, man, and all the information you put out there is so profound. And not only profound, but it's very important in this day and time. We're looking at where people are afraid to call a spade, and that's a sign of the last day, you know, that people are not going to call it what it is, you know, and to have people to do that today is very significant, because everybody seems to be conforming to what the mainstream society is. You know, and they're continuing to, like, you know, this blind following thing is very dangerous. And you mentioned this yesterday at the Imam table that, you know, we are cliquish by nature. The African American, we always seem to be, I call it the transfer agreement. We're always being transferred to somebody and being subjected to them, rather it's from slavery to the Arab sheikh overseas, where, you know, and we always get the bad end of the stick. That whole 20 years that you were talking about, I call it pseudo-Salafism, because, you know, that's not the people of the Salaf, you know. And so that whole 20 years, all it did is cause havoc, disenfranchised masajid, you know, people are just from that movement. And that's all because we keep jumping in on the bandwagon, you know, and not having our own independent, and when I mean independent thinking is being able to decipher yourself the text that the scholars are going into, we should be able to go into it too, so that we can have understanding and know where it's coming from, you know. So alhamdulillah is very appreciative, and you're right, we should get something together, you know, so that we can join together. And I would love that, you know, inshallah.
Well, I'm going to be contacting you like in a day. So as soon as I figure out how to work the technology on the Zoom thing, or maybe the thing that we use as a platform with the imam, one of those.
Yes.
I got the computer. I can do it. You know, I just got to figure it out and get the time to get it in. But I wanted to mention while you're on the phone is that this type of thinking, revolutionary or evolutionary thinking, we're not the first ones to do this. Other scholars, other imams, always throughout history, this was always an issue. It was always an issue. Even back, you know, I mean, of course, the Prophet himself, he presented a totally new idea to them. I mean, when he made Hijra, it was only 70 people. It wasn't like a lot of people. It wasn't like he sold everybody. They were trying to kill him. They had a bounty on his head. Dude, we're going to kill you. Who can find Muhammad and Abu Bakr? They get 100 camels, you know. But later on, and many, many of our scholars, what they came with was start to be revolutionary ideas. Ibn Taymiyyah himself, he died in prison. They accused him of being like an anthropomorphist because he was trying to explain. He was trying to explain one time the descent of Allah at night. Well, the Qudsi Hadith, Allah descends at the last part of the night, and he answers prayers, and it's a long idea. You know that. But he was trying to give an idea, and you know they didn't like his ideas. They didn't like his way of thinking. They didn't like Imam Shafi'i's thinking. They don't like people just have a problem with, you know, with change. And it's not that they're all evil, but they just have a problem with change. And right now in America, we're talking about Black American Muslims who have been totally programmed. The Black man in America is basically a product. He's like a product. He's not, I mean, they don't look at him as a man. He's a product. He's like a, he's still a slave in the field, but, you know, we need the Black man to buy the blunts and to buy this and to buy the liquor and to get high and this and that and to go into court so we can get these lawyers paid and to commit certain crimes so we can put them on a felony. That means they ain't getting no financial aid. They can't buy a house. They're not going to get this. They can't buy a weapon. All this kind of stuff. We need that. We need the Black man to so we can have the behavioral psychologist come in and diagnose him. Oh, man, you got anger issues. You got women issues. You got man issues. You got sex issues. You may be homo. Let's explore that. Let's see if you do that. We're gonna tell you, you got two dadism. They need the Black man. And Black people, they need white supremacy, man. We love white supremacy, man. We spend more money on cable, man. If we took the money that we spend as Black Muslims on cable a month, if we stopped cable for 1 month, brother, we probably could still build 100 misogyny in the country. Just cable.
Absolutely.
If we didn't buy Snicker bars, we said, so brother, listen. So we're gonna contact. I've got 90 seconds on my show left, so I want to close out. I want to thank you for calling in, and show talking next time. In next couple of times, you're gonna be on this show. I think that we'll do better on a live video show. So we're
yes,
gonna do that.
Yes, indeed.
And appreciate you calling. JazakAllah khair. Assalamu alaikum.
Have fun, brother. Okay, wa alaikum salam, my brother. All right.
Okay, we got 67. I want to thank my callers and to thank the people who listened into the show. You've been listening to Imam Abu Layth Luqman Ahmed, and my show is called The Muslim Review. And I'll see you next time, which will probably be on Friday night. And by the way, we're going to be doing Salat al-Eid Friday morning at the Toledo Masjid of Islam. Takbir is going to start around 8 o'clock. And you know, if you're in the Toledo area, you're welcome to come. And again, I'll put my fundraiser that we're doing for preservation of Muslim history. I'm going to put that on my Facebook page and just send a few dollars in. Every penny helps. And we are putting out history, but we're compiling history too. So thanks for calling in. Subhanaka hamdika wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.